I think it's hard to leave. It's always hard to leave because mm-hmm. our heart is there. And so it's our home. And so it's like almost like we know this feeling of like not feeling home and not knowing when we'll be home.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that's hard.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. Listen, this week's episode is a little different. We shot this one about 2 weeks ago, and it was literally days after these two people, our missionaries, had escaped from the chaos in Haiti. While you watch this, I just wanted to take a minute and say, these guys are fresh off the field. We felt like it was important to capture the moment, but know that it's raw and it's real. And I wanted to give you guys a glimpse on what goes on the ground. I hope you enjoy this. You know what to do, hit like, hit subscribe. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for watching. It's been a fun journey, and we got more to come. It's good to have you guys. Jonathan, Floor, how are you?
Good.
Are you nervous?
No.
Yeah, you are. I could tell. Yeah, you got to make eye contact with me the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. I asked you to come and do this against your will, but you owe me. No, you don't. You owe me nothing.
We're glad
you guys just came through a legit crazy situation. And I was hoping you could go into it to encourage those that are watching. And so really quick, let me just fill these guys in on what's going on. You guys have been in Haiti for the last 5 years, 6 years?
Six years.
And as of a few days ago, you made a heroic escape out of Haiti. It really, no, like it was. Okay. So as you guys are watching this, they're going to downplay everything that they say because they're humble missionaries. But the reality is like, I really barely slept for like 3 weeks. I don't know if you know this. You think I'm joking?
No. Yeah.
We did not sleep well too.
We have not
sleep. Yeah. I'm not making this about me, but like, you guys escaped chaos, but it's all about me. No, I love you guys a lot. And like a day didn't go by where I wasn't thinking about you, staying up praying. It was crazy, more than I have historically. I don't know why. It's because you have two little kids that I love, more than other little kids. But you guys are missionaries. You've been with us for 6 years, and you're based in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. You're our first base in Haiti. And you guys made a pretty crazy escape out of Haiti in the midst of the chaos. And I was hoping you could share a little bit of your story.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know that they're going to talk different, but they're normal people. They just have bad accents because you normally speak French, right?
Yeah, French,
German, or Creole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's jump right on into this.
Yeah.
Okay. When did things get bad in Haiti? How far back?
We moved to Haiti in 2018, mm-hmm. and the UN left at that time. And so things only like went worse and worse, I would say. But in 2021, they assassinated the president. And from that, it's like gang are just taking more and more power in the mm-hmm. capital city of Port-au-Prince. So I would say like the last 2 years have been the hardest years. We were not going a lot out, a lot of kidnapping. A lot of violence, many areas that we cannot even go through.
Yeah. Right around your house, right?
Not too far from our house. We moved in 2021 because our area was starting to be gang controlled. We started to see like people being killed, like just on the next street from our house, people breaking into houses. And so we moved to a safer area right by the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really like God opened door to move to next to the airport, or we already left like 2 years ago. So I think it's what's on the only place kind of safe still in Port-au-Prince.
Why didn't you guys leave?
We'll leave last
the country. Sunday. No, why didn't you leave years ago? Yeah. Why move?
I mean, different time we had this question about like, are we supposed to leave or not? And every time God like really clearly speak to us if it's still people to love and if we can continue to love people and stop for the one in need. And I think every time we have this peace, both of us with the kids to continue the work.
Okay, how many kids you got?
two little boys.
Yeah, tell us about them.
Yeah, we have a 6 years old boy, Isaiah, and Liam, 4 years old. They both grew up in Haiti. They were born in Switzerland, but they stayed for a month and then...
We arrived in Haiti with Zaya, was 30 days, so everything he knows is about Haiti. We were called as a family to support family in Haiti, and I don't think I will last a single day by myself in Haiti. I think it's just, they're full of joy, and they open the heart of gang leader people in the slum of Cité Soleil on the streets to have those little two blonde guys.
Yeah,
speaking Creole and loving people around them. That's really, we are family, loving out of family and supporting them.
So you just said you introduced some of these gang leaders.
Yeah.
When the country was not that bad, we went to the slum with the...
So we have a little house in the middle of the slum of Cité Soleil, and we do food program. We have elderly program, house building and different program. And they make like now... a year and a half, I was not able to go down because of the gang war. And it's really my happy place right there. I love to be there, but the road to go in are really dangerous.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of there. We are protected by the different gang and the different people. And Isaiah, when he came down, people are so excited to see him. And it's just opening hearts. And he loved to be there, and we love to be there. And I'm praying that... we'll be able to go back soon.
Yeah.
To those people.
So for someone who's listening, let's just pretend someone's listening to this. I think probably a lot are. They're like, why the heck would you put your kids around the gangs? Like, these are the gangs that are murdering people daily, right?
Yeah.
Incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
The whole country is being overthrown and overrun. Yeah. Everybody's being evacuated that isn't a Haitian. And you just said that you put your kids around them. Like, can you talk about that, Flora?
We protect them a lot too. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we visited some people. It's not like we're like in the midst of like 30 big gang leader and here's my kids.
Yeah.
We visited the slum and there's some of the gang there. But other than that, there's in the slum, there's a lot of just people, you know, and they're not violent. They're just trying to survive, trying to live.
Yeah.
And so we try to have a balance between not showing everything to our kids, not telling everything about what is happening in the country, but also having them like being within the people in the culture.
Yeah.
We saw too many people that just building like a bubble around their family and living on the mission field, but having no contact with any other people.
Right.
And we want our kids to love Haiti, to love Haitian, and to see, I mean, the good and the bad. If we just keep them inside a house, then they will just see our family and not other people.
Yeah.
But I mean, these last few years, they go less and less out.
Yeah.
Now in those time, we will go like maybe once a month outside of the base.
Yeah.
Or the kids and Flo will just stay home, and we have people coming at the base.
Yeah.
It's mostly people coming in, and the people that come in are not gang leaders.
Right.
So like the people that come in are the families that we support. And so the kids can, like, they have a moment in the morning with the families, and the kids can go and play games and just,
So I saw a video of you running out around the streets. This is months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like when things were bad, but it's gotten a lot worse.
Yeah.
And I saw a video of you running around like in from building to building with like a bulletproof vest on to go and preach the gospel and give food away. How old are you guys, by the way?
34.
34? You guys look so young. You guys look so much younger. I was thinking in your early 20s, but what do I know? So you've been living in this. Like, what was it like even months ago? Or a year ago, I think is when I saw the video, you were out running around preaching the gospel, feeding people with a bulletproof vest on. What's that like? Can you talk to me about that?
Yeah. I think we learned a lot from the Haitian to just continue to live and not just staying home.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people need to go daily outside to find food.
Mm.
And I think this balance between just like when it's dangerous to stay home, and then to not just like for 3 or 4 months staying home. And every time praying about, like, we used to pray, are we supposed to go to grocery store or not? Because, yeah, the streets are really bad and a lot of killing and kidnapping. So I think to go to the slum is the same. It's just going to God and say, are we supposed to go today or not? Mm. And at this time, the video we filmed, it was like for Easter.
Almost a year ago today. Almost. Yeah. It's almost a year ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. By the time we shot this, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, okay,
wow,
God, like, do I really need to do this? Mm-hmm. I was like, in a way, I really wanted to go because it was really in the middle of the war and a lot of people were starving to death and it was hard. And same time, I was like, it's not a good timing to go. It's like dangerous. And God really speak to me about, like, now is the timing, go.
So a lot of people have a hard time hearing God. Right. People always ask, like, what's God want from my life? What's God saying? Can you just talk about your relationship with Jesus for a minute and how you hear him in the middle of the chaos? And then very soon, I want to share the story about how you guys have exited Haiti.
Because
I think a lot of what we're talking about is, what do you do in the midst of the tension, right? Not knowing what's next and being obedient to his voice. Yeah. Like, so can you just talk about your relationship with the Lord really quick?
So for this specific situation, I had a confirmation from the Lord. I was really praying. And then God really, I felt in my heart, is like, you need to go now. And
what does that sound like? What does that look like? Help. Put some words to that.
That was a long time ago.
For it's you, okay. It's like,
for me, I really, like, Holy Spirit is living in me. Yeah. And I gave him the control of everything. So I don't hear a clear voice, or it's just I feel inside of me. And it's like when you put death and life in front of you, it's so real. It's not like, oh, do I need to go there in holiday or there? And you're like, I don't really know. And you hear or feel a little bit.
Right.
And it's this strong, like, conviction to cry and like, God, if it's the time I need to go, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And then a peace coming up. And I think that's the reason we are family. I always have confirmation from Flor. And she need to go and pray. And I came to her and I was like, hey, I need to go. And I need to feed the people and preach the gospel. And then she go and pray.
Mm. Yeah, and I think it's about listening to God, but community is really important too. And I think, like, sometimes we dream a lot. We like to dream. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we had prophetic word, like, just confirming what we were dreaming about. And that helped us a lot those last 2 years to know where we were going.
Yeah.
Because it was just, like, big dreams in the midst of a lot of chaos. But also, like, having people giving up. Sometimes we need to tell, like, sometimes we need to make choice that people will disagree with.
Yeah.
And so, for example, during COVID, we choose to stay. The airport was being closed and we didn't know what's going to happen. And we chose to stay. And a lot of people were like, you need to leave. We want you out. Everyone was afraid for us. And at that time, we felt God was asking us to stay.
Yeah.
And other time, like, we also need to, like, listen to the advice people are giving us. And
wasn't it around that time that, like, 12 or 14 missionaries were captured and held ransom?
I think that was probably a year after COVID in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of in November or October 2021, they...
So was 14? I think it was Mennonite.
Yeah. I think they were like
16. I don't know. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was like a big group of people
that were kidnapped and held ransom for months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like 4 months, 3 months, something. It was a long time.
Two or three months.
Okay. So you're in a place. It's falling apart. The gangs, you're literally wearing a bulletproof vest to go around. I've seen videos that you've sent me. And I get a lot of bad videos around, you know, from our bases around the world. I see a lot. One of the worst things, it's top on my list, was a video that you sent me of a girl getting beaten to death by a crowd of people. And didn't that happen, like, very close to you?
I mean, Port-au-Prince is not much, it's not really big. So it's not far. It's not in the same neighborhood.
It was horrific.
It is.
And so you have violence around you. Mm-hmm. You have shootings. You're going out in a bulletproof vest. You have missionaries being kidnapped, right?
I mean, it's not everything together.
The president's getting killed. No, like, hold on, time out. Yes, it is together.
It is, but I think it's first the conviction, I think, from the Lord. It was like, it's the right timing. And then I check, and I have a lot of contact, and I think that's the beauty of Haitian. They can survive in those times because they have contact everywhere.
Right.
And you will call different people on the road where you go. I will call different gang leader to see, and then they have the feedback about, like, yeah, it's a peace during this weekend. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to war this weekend. And it will probably an opening so people can just go out, buy some food before it will start again next week. And then after that, I had the confirmation, Flo cry in the room. And she was like, yeah, during the preaching, she listened to and was praying and worshiping. And she came back and said, yeah, I think it's the time you need to go.
But I guess the picture I'm painting is the whole thing has been chaos for years. Yeah. And you guys have felt the Lord say, stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever think in a million years when you first met and got married that you'd be doing this?
No, just a farmer and she's a teacher. And we
thought we would live in Switzerland.
Yeah. Working in our church as youth pastor.
So how did you get on the missions field?
We got married when I was still studying. And I was studying to be a teacher. And so I wanted us to travel before we got a job and we settle. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't want to miss on traveling because we married young. And so
how young were you when you guys got married?
We were 20. I was 20 and he was 23.
Okay.
When I was finished with my study, we went to Haiti for a year.
She really had, like, they need a teacher to teach a school. And I was like, okay, God, if it's a place where I need to be, I need to fall in love with the people. So we went for a week and God just break my heart for those people.
It was up in the mountain, so it was beautiful. Yeah. Not like the city.
and I think that's the step we needed.
Yeah.
And I love the picture. Yeah, the picture, the story of Jesus in the, like, calling Peter out of the boat. The first step is the hardest.
Yeah.
And for us, it was to be ready to leave Switzerland in our comfort place, in our little house, and our little, I was youth pastor and with everything, like, really planned. And it was like, let go the boats and walk on water.
We had no idea what mission was. Like like our church was not doing a lot of mission trip, or like we knew some missionary, like really old, that stayed in Africa for like maybe 30 years, but we didn't know what it would be. And we arrived in Haiti, we were the only foreigner, and we had to run the school, and he had to build a farm, and we had to learn the language. And we bought two horses, and we just wanted to leave, like, the people. So
learning from them. Like, yeah, we learned the culture, the language, how to go on horses. And it was one of the toughest years in our life. Mm-hmm. We learned so much.
Yeah.
It was amazing and the worst in the same time. We were sick all the time. It was really a lot of warfare and it was hard. But in the middle of that, God just help us to let go Switzerland and our belonging and everything we love. And yeah, so that was, 8, 9 years ago? Yeah.
2015,
So we needed this first step in Haiti to be then called to Cité Soleil.
Yeah. Now, fun fact about you guys. I know we're talking heavy stuff, but you guys are both circus performers.
Yeah. There's,
yes.
We did some.
Where did that play into your story?
So when we were like six, I was 16, he was 18. And
is that how you met?
No, we knew each other since we were born. Our families are close to each other. But so when we were young in our city, there's always like there's a street art festival. And people come and do show, and we apply. And we apply without thinking they were going to take us.
Yep.
And they took us.
Like 2 weeks before the show started. We had nothing writing, nothing planned.
Yeah.
And in 2 weeks, we just, built something with my brother and sister and your brother and your sister and a good friend. And that's how it started.
Whenever we do like the Iris gatherings and we do, you know, talent show or you guys always win. It's not cool. Jonathan can breathe fire and you guys are acrobatic. I don't even know how to say it. You're acrobats. It's just the weird. You guys are like the weirdest, best. You don't make it fair to everyone else. So let's just rewind to a couple of weeks ago. Okay. Yeah. Cause I want you to share the story about getting out of Haiti And you guys can start that wherever you want. But over the last year or so, you guys have been making little visits out of here. Yeah. It gets a lot of pressure. You're like, we need to get out for a week, breathe, and then go right back in.
Yeah.
So we've been seeing each other on and off
for
the last couple of years. And it was about 3-4 weeks ago, you called and you're like, hey, we feel like we need to get out for a breathe. You came out for like 4 or 5 days, 6 days, and then went back. And then as soon as you got in, it seemed like Haiti went to the next level.
Yeah.
Yeah, we arrived back from Nashville on Monday, and on Thursday, we heard about stray bullet on plane, but not sure if they had attacked the airport or not. We did not really know exactly what was happening, but we could hear some gunshot. And yeah, then on Saturday, they attacked the biggest, jail?
Prison. The biggest prison.
In the city, and two of them, it was just a whole night of gunshot.
They released like 4,000 prisoners these nights.
Why?
And then directs to have more soldiers in the gang. So they just attack and break down the prison and then release 4,000 prisoners into that and then attack another prison outside of the city and release I don't know how many thousand people more.
Wow.
So yeah, this night was chaos.
It was a night. We did not sleep.
And your parents had just come
to
stay with you guys for the first time ever. Was it their first
time? It was their third time in Haiti. But yeah, we don't have a lot of visitors lately because of the situation. But we're close by the airport. So it was always like, hey, you can come and you're going to be stuck in a house for two weeks. But there's many things happening around. And so they came on Monday when we arrived. They did not hear the gunshot all through the night, Saturday to Sunday.
Really?
No. Yeah.
They sleep all the way through. So it was a miracle.
But we did not sleep. We were trying to pack some bags to go and not knowing what was going to happen. And then after that,
it was this time of praying again, like what we need to do.
Yeah.
Try to just run away, but now it's no more airport anymore. And then praying. And
why is there no airport?
Because they shoot at the airport, so they closed, different plane took bullets, so they just closed everything.
On Monday, then they canceled all the flight, and the airport was closed.
Right.
Nobody will try to fly in because they're going to try to shut a plane. So.
Yeah.
And I think it was the first time they really had, really strategic. It's like two big alliances between the gang, and they were always fighting, but it's the first time they all gather and decide to attack all the prison and the police.
So the gang's united for this.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that was the only thing I was always telling Flo. I was like, they will never take the government out because they're so disunited that they will not be able to accomplish anything. If one of the gang will come more power, the other one will attack. But this time, they all gather and really organize, just target police station.
Yeah, the ports.
Bang the ports, the airport, and just shut down the completely country. And then attack the smallest police station and slowly going to the biggest one. And yeah, and this time we had really like what we need to do. Like hiding, trying to escape the country. And after a few days, again, like praying and listening to God and following Holy Spirit. And same time having a lot of phone calling different gang leader, different people around.
You were calling gang leaders?
Yeah, to hear what's happened. Because we always have the news from the newspaper and the radio. But that's never really the truth. You never really know what's happened.
I didn't know you were getting info from gang leaders.
Yeah, that's the reason we escaped on Sunday. Because I know Monday they will attack the top of the city.
The gang leaders told you this?
Yeah, one of the leader, not the top leader.
BBQ, barbecue?
No. I'm not. The rule is stay out of politics and stay out of the gang politics. But it's this balance between we needed this last 6 years to survive in Haiti to be in relation with those gang. We never give them money or work together, but we always need to stay connected with them because they are the power. They decide who live, who die, when they attack, gang is really complex gangs.
Explain it.
They gang leader have school, they have orphanage, they have foundation. They raise money from around the world to help their foundation. They build basketball court. They clean the street. They pay people to clean the streets. They work as a government
yeah. because there's no government.
The problem, they kill.
But didn't they kill the president?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not, it's, yeah.
Probably other country.
A lot of Colombian soldier, like.
Yeah. That. And Haiti is in the middle of North America and South America. So yeah. a lot of gang, drug trafficking and weapon trafficking. So it's a lot of more interest than just right. Haiti. So right. the gang are always used in politics. And it's just like, I will say this last 2 years ago, it started to change. They start to kidnap people so they have their own money.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they will just, one guy in the politic will pay them to attack another guy.
Wow.
And it will be just used by the politician. And then they will come out, do some money, and then go back in the slum for 3-6 months using the money, and then going back out. And it's only like 2 years ago, they start to really kidnap and ask like $1 million per foreigner they kidnap, and a lot of money for Haitian, but that will depend which Haitian. And at this time, they kind of release from the politician because they don't have enough money to buy the gun and to just do what they want.
So you have contacts that yeah. you connect with. You're not yeah. working with these people, yeah. right? But you do use whatever information you can get,
yeah.
which I totally understand. We've done that in Mexico and all around the world. I mean,
yeah.
we do the exact same thing. Let's fast forward to getting out. I'd like to know, yeah. number one, what was the turning point to say, like, hey, we've stayed here through 6 years of this thing getting worse? And what was the point where you were like, the Lord is telling us we need to go now? Or did you even have that?
I think to have the airport close, that was the first signal, like, you don't have an
right.
And just like normal, like if my kids broke his arm right. or open, it's no more hospital and it's no more to go out.
Yep.
So it's like now it's like really dangerous.
Like in the other neighborhood we used to live, we had like green, orange, mm-hmm. red, and we would have like flags. Evacuation plan, like which mm-hmm. road. But where we lived, where we live right now, the only evacuation plan was like, we'll go to the airport. It's 2 minutes yep. away.
Right.
And so... But we also knew, like, okay, the gangs are getting closer mm-hmm. and closer, and we should be more careful because yep. they're not in our neighborhood yet, but they're, like, not really far. And so...
And they were so prideful. Then they were, like, tell, hey, tomorrow we'll attack the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And then they attack it and say, now we'll attack the police station.
Mm-hmm.
And then they explain what they will do. So I tried to think, okay, if they attack police station... I mean, there will be no more protection. They will attack then the port, and that's happened. And then yep. they will attack the rich people with shop and market.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the next one will be to attack foreigner because that's yeah. where the money is.
Yeah.
So I was like, we'll put my family at risk and we'll put all our staff
yeah.
if they find in the middle of white people. So I was like, we need to go out to protect our people.
Yeah.
And that was really strong.
I think, can we just talk about that for 1 second, yeah. Floor? I think what you said is a really important part of this, because I know some people will be like, well, why did you leave? You left your team, you left your staff. The reality is, unless you've been in this, unless you've lived in it, being an international is actually brings yeah. more attention. So you guys, even for the last few months, have been hidden
yeah.
there. Like people don't even know that you really yep. exist in that house, which yeah. is crazy. All the work you're doing out of there, it's like underground yep. and you're hidden. But you guys needed to leave to protect your staff.
Yeah. And even for the kidnapping, like to kidnap foreigner is not like often. It's happened, mm-hmm. but it's not really often because the risk is big.
Yeah.
But to kidnap one of our staff, they know we have the money.
Right.
So it will be really interesting for them. So right. we put a lot in place so they will be hiding too, to not have uniform, to yeah. not have any relation with them on Facebook or yeah. social media. So we did it. That's already like this... last 2 years.
Yeah, and even right now, resources are becoming yeah, hard too. To find. So yeah. food, money, the port is closed, the airport is closed. And so we are the one that can leave, they can't. And are we going to stay there and eat all the food that we could give them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And stress about like what food can we find for yeah. our family, for our yeah. kids. And we knew it would be too much stress mm-hmm. to handle. like physically, like it was just a lot of stress. It would be really, and then it would be bad for us to
for
stay
like 2 weeks.
There.
Then for 2 weeks, it was peace to stay. It was like, okay, we can gather food.
Yeah,
so we're just going out like every day trying to send our staff, hey, there we can find a bag of rice. We can find some spaghetti here. And trying to find, we had no more diesel. So we rationed like two hour night to have lights, the freezer and security. And we're like out of diesel. So we managed to find diesel, first 50 gallon. That was the first miracle to have like a truck deliver 50 gallon.
Yeah.
And
I remember that
and then
message.
every day we had something to do.
Right.
So that was the first week, just trying to organize everything and just trying to like, okay, we need to stock up. We need to get ready, like, so we can just shelter in place.
Yeah.
And then the second week we had everything like organized and it was just more gunshot, not too far.
Floor, talk to me about this just as a mom, right? As a mom who loves Jesus, right? You trust him. You trust the Lord. I know this about you. You love your kids. You love your husband. You love your team. How was it just navigating? Can you just talk me through, like, at night, what were you praying at night? What was your thought process? What was the battle that was going on?
It was hard to not imagine what the worst scenario could be. Like, just, imagining things that could happen. But also, like, just looking at them. I would say just my kids are innocent. They're, like, playing. They're, And we have moment of joy. And we had, like, worship time where, like, I don't know, the word are just more powerful when you're in those situations. Mm-hmm. Because when you say that Jesus reigns above it all, like, he reigns above it all, above it all. Like, it just,
You would send me
but
photos.
I think I don't really have word at in the on those time to really pray. It's like intern, but I cannot even say something to God, like speak something. Like, I have no more word.
Yeah.
But I can feel his presence. I can feel him. I can feel him, like, giving me strength daily.
What did that feel like? Like, I want to just, can you put words to what that looks like in the middle? Because I think a lot of people don't.
I've
never been in that situation. What does that feel
like? For example, like when all the first week, like trying to find things and stuff, there's some days that it was just, I just wanted to like stay in my bed and hide and kind of like being depressed. but then you can choose to like wake up. You can choose to fight. You can choose to see things differently. Like, and I think like, one day, especially, like, I felt really weak, and suddenly I had this strength that I cannot really explain. Maybe adrenaline. But I had this strength that, I was like, that's God, and, like, we need to fight, we need to stand, we cannot just go into despair, like, we need to have hope, and I think that's what we do, too. We not, like, in those situations, yes, it's hard and yes, it's stressful, but we still have hope. We still dreams. Like, even on the last week, we're still dreaming about the things that we can do or, like, what we would like to see in the future. We're not just, oh, it's done now. Like, life goes on and we keep dreaming.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest. We had promised, like, prophetic word, but, like, not just one, but, like, a ton of those prophetic word who through the storm, I think it's good to remember what God promised us.
Oh,
and
dude,
that's the time where you can just like go, like you're not looking at the water or everything crumble down, but you're just like, God promises that. So as long as he speak, we are walking and we're going forward.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, we needed those word. We're not knowing when we received the word, but now we're like, okay, that's our place and we'll do that. And we are in the middle of buying a property in the middle of Port-au-Prince, where everything is just
crumbling.
People are like leaving, escaping and trying to sell the property. And we are like, no, God has spoken and we'll be there.
Right.
And we'll go back and God will continue to multiply and make grow the project.
So you guys, I know we're hopping all over the place, but basically it gets worse. They attack the jail, right? Then they attack the airport a few days later, like a day or two later, the airport was attacked or shut down a few
down a few days later.
And then, so all of a sudden, the airport was the way that you were going to get out. So we booked tickets because it was getting bad. We're like, hey, let's fly on out for a week, right? Let's just do that again. Okay, come on for a week. We'll chill out, you know, hang out here with the team. And so we booked tickets. It was, I think it was like a Tuesday. We booked tickets for a Thursday.
Yes. Yep.
And then Wednesday, I think the airport was closed.
Yeah.
Or that Thursday it was closed. It was something, it was something
Tuesday,
like that.
Wednesday.
Closed. And no longer can you get out. So where you guys are located, it's very close to the airport.
Yep.
And the gangs are all on all the streets. And they do roadblocks. They just go and shoot cars. Yep. They just, there is no rhyme or reason. So you guys are now locked in your house. You can't even get to the ocean. You can't get to get on a boat. Nope. You are literally locked in and there's no option.
Yeah.
What did that feel like when you were like, okay, there is no flights. There's no helicopters. There's no way out.
In a way, it was really hard because it was no escape plan. But in a way, it makes 6 years we just stuck in our house. So as long as they're not attacking the house, we can survive. We have
it was hard mentally.
You're like, we can survive. She's like, it was hard.
No, but it makes 2 years that we're at our house. Like, I don't go out. The only place I go out is like the hotel next door.
Explain. So you literally live in a...
We have two property on the same neighborhood. So the only thing we do is go from one property to the other one. And one has a swimming pool so we can go with the kids and swim.
Yeah.
And so we've been staying at home.
Because you run a guest house.
Yeah.
Just so people know, they run a guest house.
And we've been seeing a lot of people, but we've been staying on our compound.
Mm-hmm.
So this does not change. But the thing, the thought of like, I cannot, if something happened, I'm stuck here and I'm going to need to have to maybe run. Like, so I think mentally it was just hard.
Yeah. So from the time that the airport shut down to the time that you got out was about 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
And that entire 2 weeks went into like, how do you get out? How do you get out of a country where you can't, where you literally can't leave your front door? So walk us through what were your thoughts? What was trying to take place? Like I'm back on this side of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just calling anybody I know. I must have made 40 phone calls to different organizations.
Yeah.
Different crisis management. We work with an incredible group.
Yeah.
Which you talked to some of them.
It was amazing.
CCI. Shout out CCI.
Yeah.
Those guys are incredible. But also just doing whatever we can. And it's funny. It's not funny. It's crazy what happens when things shut down, right? When everything just shuts down.
Yeah.
You just, the things you go, oh, we'll just do that. Oh, we'll just get in the car and drive. Like you just can't do any of that.
And I think that's what bring peace the first week. It was like, we have no way to escape.
Right.
So we just continue to do what we do. So wake up in the morning, take care of our 250 chicken to try to grow food because we know the port was attacked, so it will be no more food. So we know our chicken will be so much valuable. So waking up and giving food to the chicken and taking care of them and doing food distribution for the family we support. And we had eight guests at the guest house. Yeah, stuck at the house. So trying to take care of them and give them food and try to make them breathe and just relax. And so it was a lot to just like, okay, we cannot go. So what we can do here? And it was like getting food, taking care of the family we support, the chicken. We spent a lot of time just us as a family to have fun, to have board game, to have joy, to have worship together. And I think that's really, sometimes the stress is so much out. The problem is when the stress is inside your home.
Right. And your in-laws were there. What was that like?
They don't speak English, so they'll probably not watch
this. No. They won't watch it.
I mean, it was, yes, for sure, it was a lot, another stressor because they just come in Haiti. They don't know how to light matches, to start fire, to have water, to go at the well, to have water, to everything. They need to learn again. So it was a stressor and same time, I think, a huge blessing.
At the same time, I think that we would not have survived without them because of how stressed we were, both of us, and how the kids would, like, the kids don't understand everything, but they feel everything. And so I was really thankful that they were here and they would take the kids for like afternoon at the pool and just like take care of them like a whole day.
And then we can work.
And we could organize everything and just like be like just do what we needed to do. But if we had to do that plus the kids would
feel it a would lot
have
more.
Yeah, they would have felt a lot more of the stress. And I think that it was good in a way.
Yeah.
Like it went good.
God have a perfect planning. Like it's amazing through this crisis to see God have his hand on every single step.
Listen, tell us how you got out.
Yeah, so the first week it was.
Talk us through the plan. Talk us what happened.
First week it was to gather food.
Because you guys did
things.
Something that was not recommended.
No. But yeah, the first week it was like, if we leave, we want to be sure our people, the family we support, we love and we share, and all us, we have like 12 staff and we want to be sure they will be fine. So trying to find money, but it's no more banks, it's no more trying to find food. And after the first week, we had enough money and food for a month. And we're like, okay, now is the time to go. And then the second week, it was more like, yeah, phone call with you and a bunch of people around the world. And it was just amazing to be supported by so many people. Yeah. And I think in time of crisis, it's so important to not just take decision by your own, but having people around you.
Well, and I think on Friday, like the second week, we had a phone call with Shoshan and he was like, okay, you need to tell your guests to leave. You need to get ready. You need to leave on Sunday. And at that time, we were not ready. We didn't, like, we were like, no, we're going to stay one more week. We good. We can stay
longer. We need a little bit
longer.
More time to just make everything ready.
But then
so
you,
we can leave because we don't know when we'll be able to come back.
Then you called some friends.
And I spent a day calling people in the gang leader, and different people through the Port-au-Prince, and everybody was the same. Like, next step, they will take Pétionville. So in my, like, Haiti is a beautiful country full of amazing people.
Yeah.
And the reality of Port-au-Prince is not the reality in the whole Haiti.
Right.
The countryside, a lot of other city, people are living normal, like, and the amazing people. So my only concern was to go out of the city in those time. And then I sent my driver to the top of the city to when to buy feeding for the chicken. And so he checked the road and I have different information on this road to go up the city. And then I had another phone call with a good friend and just told me they just put all his family in the truck and bring them out of the city because next week everything will be shut down.
So when our Haitian friend are leaving, we think maybe it's time to leave.
Yeah.
And for all the other reason, it was just like, we look at each other and I was like, Flo, we're leaving. And we have a lot of little argument if we put too much salt in spaghetti or meat or ham in... But for big things like this, we always, Holy Spirit united us. And it's just amazing to just say, okay, we'll leave. And Flo and I were just like, yep, let's go. We'll leave.
Well, after this phone call on Friday, I just started to arrange like the armored car. I asked a friend to arrange the moto ride, the boat.
Can we just explain?
So on Friday, we decided we need to leave.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
We decided that on Saturday, no?
Friday we're like, we need to leave. And Saturday morning, we're like, okay, how we leave?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the plan was to try to go up on the top of the city and then cross over the mountain of Haiti to arrive in the south. And then from there, try to take boats to arrive to the DR. So floor, manage, and again, the body of Christ is so important. I think to have the first week with connection all around the world.
Yeah.
And the second week, it was all about like calling friend and contacts. And
because of the guest house that we have, like we met so many missionaries. And so one of them, I asked him like, can you arrange the ride with the moto? Can you arrange the boat? And he arranged everything in like 3 hours. And the armor car, it was arranged really fast. And so when everything
the tricky
like
part
lined
for
up,
me, it was to leave our house to arrive on top of the city. Like I say, outside in countryside, I'm not worried. People are amazing. But in the city, you have the gang taking over a lot of place. And then you have the people who try to stop them. So they just put car and burn car and bus and block streets. So the gang cannot just go out, kill, and go back before the police come.
Wow.
So a lot of roads are just stuck. And and the risk to have, we were, so my family of four, my parents-in-law and another couple, missionary couple, were at the guest house. We proposed them to come with us. And so it was like eight people. And I was like, eight people in a car crossing all those streets, it will be really too dangerous. And you contact another friend.
So let me just, because I don't want to get lost, right? So you make the decision on Friday. Yeah. You plan Saturday and you start calling all these people.
Yeah.
If you rewind, I don't know if you, did I tell you what I was doing? I'm negotiating with, for 2 weeks, I negotiated with a paramilitary group.
Hmm. Yeah.
Do you know how much they wanted to rescue you guys?
Half a million?
$500,000.
Way too much.
Way too much?
We did it for 6,000. It's not about money.
No. I just think it's, so I never knew this stuff when I got into missions. Like, oh, I want to go into missions. Like, oh, I want to help run a missions organization. Like, if you would have said, Will, you'll be negotiating with paramilitary groups that you meet online. Mm-hmm. And then you have the ethical questions. Is it okay to send in armed people to potentially kill people to rescue missionaries?
That was one of the big no for us.
That was one of the things that, for me, like, even some of the roads we could, some people were like, maybe you can take that road. But I was like, there's gunpoint, and I don't want my kids to see people with big guns stopping us. And really, the way we did it, they did not see anything.
It was like, it was a lot for our kids too, like, how much trauma they will have to have like paramilitary to come in the house and come
at the same point. And I would have pulled the trigger. Maybe I should use a better word. I was ready. I was ready. If they were starting to come, like, and thank God we negotiated down to a thing that we could probably actually make happen if we needed to. Like I would have done it in a second.
For us, it was really important to, we know we'll go back, and for all the people who are there, it's really important how foreigners react and act and play. And we arrived 9 years ago and went on horses every day to travel, and I'm sure it's a Haitian way to do it, and I it will be, I think, safer. And much better for our kids because they will just like, what, daddy? We'll take motorcycle and boat. Yay.
So you came up with this plan.
Yeah.
And it was the worst plan. So the entire time, I still have the group on my phone. I still have the group on my phone because I turned it off yesterday for the first time in like 4 weeks. Like this WhatsApp security. This is all the different like...
Yeah.
Organizations that are working together to get people out. Look at this.
Yeah.
This is all day. This is all day, every day.
Oh, yeah.
And there was rumors of people that were going over the mountain. And everybody's like, don't do it. They'll die. Don't do it. It's dangerous. Don't do it.
And that was a foreigner group.
Yeah. And these aren't even missionaries.
And And then we have our friend who know people who did it. Like Haitian, yes. No foreigner.
Yeah.
But Haitian who did it.
I called a woman. Did I tell you this? I might have. I don't remember. I didn't sleep a lot. I called a woman that was like, I professionally rode motocross motorcycles over that mountain. Like professionally.
Yeah.
Like dirt bikes. And she was like, don't do it.
It's not a really good road.
It's like...
She's like, it's dangerous, and I'm a professional dirt bike.
So
and you guys went over a $100 Chinese mountain bike. So just 2 seconds.
Moto, but the risk of the moto.
No, you're good. You're good. Here we go. So the plan was get an armored car.
Yeah.
Okay. Sunday morning. Why Sunday morning?
Because I know on Sunday it's still like a lot, 100,000 people still go to church on Sunday morning.
So you go Sunday because the bad guys are in church.
Yeah, some are in church. A lot are in church or just resting. And
it's the gang.
The only way gangs still in power is because they have people empowering them. So they need to be good for their people. So Sunday is like a break. They're like, hey guys, go out today. We'll not fight. You can go buy food. But on Monday, we'll lock everything and it will be. So I know on Monday will be bad again. And when we know a Sunday is pretty off, people can go to church, find food. And I was like, if we leave Sunday morning, that will be the best time. Not too early, because you want to know what's happened. Because sometimes a big war starts on Sunday still. Right. Like 2 years ago, they attack and burn hotel and villages on Sunday morning. So you try to wait until you know what's happened. So we wait until 9 o'clock, 10 to see what's happened. And we see it was pretty open. It was some car driving, and we take armored vehicle.
So you can rent because it's so dangerous. Just so people understand. I was like, what? You can just rent an armored car? So there's services out there.
Yeah. You make like 2 years, we have guests at the guest house who just go to Port-au-Prince with armored car.
Right. Yeah.
So we not because it's so expensive.
Right.
But I'll check how we can transform our car into an armored vehicle, but it's complicated.
It is complicated. So I called the armored car company. Did I tell you this? Yeah. And I was like, please don't let them go. Talk them into staying at their armored compound. Did I tell you this?
I had a phone call with the lady, and I assume somebody speak with them.
Yeah, I was heavily involved. I got my little fingernails in all of it because I was really scared.
We were too. But God, it was a peace. And I think, this peace just came over all little plan and just phone call and say, yep, we have a motorcycle. And the armored vehicle. Oh, yeah, we have a spot on Sunday morning open. We are available at this time. And there's not a ton of people doing that. So to just have an open spot in an open day at this time. And my driver was like, oh, you don't need that. I can drive you up.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I want to be sure it will be safe for our family.
And the risk of doing this or staying another week waiting for a helicopter, like, I don't know which one would be the worst for our health. Like,
I don't even think they have helicopters even now. So
it's on and off. It's complicated.
We could have waited like way more. So like the stress was going to kill us before the motor. No, but like...
No, after 3 weeks
Friday,
of stress...
he was like not feeling good. He was like my heart hurt the whole day.
I was like, Flo was like, oh no, don't die now. But yeah, the stress, you cannot sleep, you cannot eat.
Yeah.
You don't want... We just came back with a bag of chicken nuggets from Costco. And it was kind of a daily meal because all the food was like, I cannot eat. So we just did some nuggets because some nuggets and Chick-fil-A sauce is still really good. So we did that the whole week because, it's hard to sleep. You wake up in stress all the time, every shooting. We tried to have fun. We had a family fun night, but in the middle is shooting just on the street in front of the house. So put all the light, put the kid in safe in the room.
Yeah.
And so all this stress, we're like, no, we need to go out now. And that's when, we take the armored vehicle.
So Sunday morning. Armored vehicle.
We drive to the blocking road of Port-au-Prince, like for 2 hours.
And would you say that was the most dangerous part?
For me, yeah.
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 But for you, it was the next part.
I thought the motor will be the worst.
Yeah.
But not dangerous. It was like...
Like physically, I think.
She enjoying the armored vehicle. She was like not... She was like, I'm in a safe bubble.
She enjoyed it.
No, but...
James, she enjoyed the armored
vehicle. No, you are in a safe bubble.
Six and 4 years. No, it's okay. I get it.
It's safer at home, maybe.
But she was like more like...
I don't know.
Motorcycle. We know what motorcycle in Haiti means. So we know we'll have back pain.
Yeah.
So that was more the fear we had. It was like 4 hours... on those motorcycles with backpack and little kids, that will be a really bad time.
When you say motorcycle, it's like Chinese.
Yeah, those
junk, little.
It's not
I
like
bought
cross,
one for $500. So yeah,
bike.
Really cheap Japanese.
So you guys get to the base. So you take an armored car for what, an hour or so? Two hours.
Right.
And
yeah.
I tried to get them to drive you all the way around and to the border. They wouldn't do that.
Nope.
You can go on this road with a car.
Because they use those armored vehicle that people know how to stop them and open them too. So they will just go on safe road.
Yeah.
They will never go outside of city or other place.
So you get to the base of the mountain, they drop you off and you were picked up by...
We have 6 motorcycle driver.
And these are dudes that you just called.
Yeah.
It's a missionary friend that lived in the south.
Who called them.
And he sent them. So they came from the south. They drove the 3-hour motor ride to pick us up.
We'll post some photos of this as they're sharing the story.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Because you guys, they took photos and videos along the way. So we'll post some photos and stuff as they're sharing.
And then so we have 6 motorcycles with the driver. And then we just, all of us jump in one. And I had Isaiah with me and you have Liam. And then we have like a good 40 minutes on little road. And then the mountain starts and it's really Yeah, we call that donkey road. They're like really small and...
Some places you need to stop and walk because the motor cannot go up with you.
Some places the motorcycle driver were too afraid. So they give local the motor. So the local takes the motorcycle for a bunch of parts.
But it reminds us a lot of our first year in Haiti on our horses and
in the
motor.
Countryside. And peace. At the second we left the city, it was really a piece of we're safe.
Right.
I can break my arm or crutch my elbow, or we put helmet on the head of our children and they had fun. The first hour they had a lot of fun. They were laughing and it was really fun. It was cool. And the second hour it was like really deep and often you need to jump out of the motorcycle so you don't fall, and it was a little bit more harder. And then you arrive on the top and God, it's so good. Cloudy day. So maybe for you it's normal. But in Haiti, we have rain only at night. And that's really nice. Sun every day. We might have cloudy day once every 2 months. It's just raining season every day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, raining to 5, 6 o'clock, and then stop. Every morning, blue sky. So to have a cloudy day for a 4-hour motorcycle drive to the mountain, it was perfect to walk and everything. And we arrive at the top and it start to rain. And our motorcycle were really like, oh no, that's really bad. We cannot go down if it's raining. And at this time, I was like, okay, we'll be ready to sleep here. And God stopped the rain and it just dripped a little bit and we were able to go all the way down.
How are your parents doing at this point? They've never done anything like this.
No, but they've done a lot of climbing and mountain. So they like adventure.
Yeah,
they always would take us and like, yeah, they like
they love mountain,
they love chubby mountain. Americans.
So for my dad, it was adventure. He was like,
wow.
They live in a house in the middle of on the mountain. They were stuck for 3 weeks in a house. It's not just a house. You can see outside. We have big wall, barbed wire. We have metal bar on every single. So it's really like prison for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So for them, they were like, oh, we're free. We're out. I can walk. I can be on the motorcycle. I'm free. So yeah, I think everybody was really excited for that.
Going down
was hard.
Yeah. But like physically, my mom was like, oh, nothing.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty good.
At the end.
Wow.
So yeah, we arrive. A missionary came a little bit up the road to take us in his pickup, and then we drive like 1 hour.
So I had you guys turn on your locations so I could sleep and function. I was actually in Texas at with my son for his 11th birthday, and all day I was just watching you guys on this journey, praying. And there was a bunch of people around the world praying, but watching you guys like make it up and then come down, getting picked up by the truck. And then driven to the coast. You spent the night with some friends.
Yep.
Yeah, at a hotel from a guest that used to stay at our guest house.
Wow.
They say, like, you need to come and visit one day. And
then
we're like, we're here. And they were like, how you did it? And I mean, the kids, we were sore, like, from the motorcycle, and the kid had a hard time to sleep. But we're like, we're good. We're outside of the capital. We are all safe and healthy. And yeah, we wake up.
Yeah, no.
We wake up in the morning, and the last, it was like a 1 hour drive, and then a small fisherman boats.
Yeah. When I had a different image when you said we're going to take a fishing boat to.
Was it a better or
worse? Better or worse?
It was like a fifth of the size that I thought you'd be in.
Okay.
So better.
It was what? Like, no. It was infinitely worse than what I was picturing.
Oh.
You're like, we're going to take a fishing boat. And I was like, okay, because I'm from a fishing town.
I thought it would be much worse.
No, it was a piece of garbage.
No, the boat was fine. We were like, what, 8 or 9 on the boat? Yeah. No, we were 9 on the boat with all our backpack. And
they're going to see a photo.
Yeah, a fisherman boat.
We did some fishing.
I mean, technically it's a boat because it was floating.
Yeah.
And it was no paddle, so it was,
You guys did 5 hours.
It was
a little bit
three.
Less.
Three? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. It felt like 5 to me.
It felt worse than the worst part.
I was not imagining that, but that was the first time I was real like praying in tongue, and I was like, I don't want to die now. Like,
and while this is going on, the village that you came to, was it? where you transferred from the mountain
or from the armored car. Still in the city.
The
still
road the city. Up to
yeah.
the...
Yeah, what fill them in on what happened.
Yeah, again, like God had this perfect timing. I think the next evening, the same evening? Was it
no, on Monday morning.
Monday morning.
They blocked the road we use, the road we used to go up to the moto. They block it. They shot at car.
Killed 15 young people.
They shot at a bank. So like we would not Burn be able to leave another day. And when you know this happened, then you don't want to, like, it was the only.
So if you were in the middle of that, that will be, I don't know what we'll have to do. But if we were still at the house, we'll know this road will be completely blocked and it will not be an option anymore. So it was just like, I'm glad we have not stayed until Monday.
Every professional that I was talking, every single professional was saying, stay in your house. Don't go out on the roads. Like every single professional. Yeah. And then every professional, or every person that was talking was like, definitely don't take that road.
Yeah.
And then they were saying, don't get in a boat because the gangs are patrolling the coast. Everyone that I talked to, and I know it was more around Port-au-Prince.
Around Port-au-Prince, yes.
Yeah.
It don't matter. Like every single person said, no, no, no. So I got on the phone with you and I'm like, dude, I don't recommend this.
Yeah.
What question did I ask you?
You said, are you sure you want something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, did God ask you to do it?
Are you sure you want
That's the question.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What is God telling you to do?
Yeah.
And do you remember your answer?
I was like, I know I need to do it.
No, you were like, I don't know, Will. No, I'm just kidding. No, you were like,
I know. That's the way we'll go out. Like, it was so strong. And I think this conviction. I was like, if we need to die on this road, that will be still a good decision that we make if something happened. It was so convict, both of us. It was so clear that was the path we need to take. We are like ready to pay the cost, even if something happened, was bad. We know that was our exit road, and we were both like 100% sure that we need to take it and we need to do it. And I think that's a big thing I really feel in Haiti, and I really think people need to have conviction, like godly conviction.
Yeah.
To know that they know that's the right thing to do. And some people have pictures, some people have dreams, some people hear God. But if you have conviction, then you can actually go through impossible situations.
Yeah. The important part in all of this is hearing his voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you see it in the book of Acts. The disciples are getting ready to go into Asia. Right? The Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, don't go to Asia. Yeah. And before he says, go to all nations, right? So the command is to go, but we also need to be obedient to his voice. And I watched you guys do that. You made it out. Then you did an 8-hour bus ride into Santo Domingo.
Yeah.
Put your parents on a plane.
Yeah.
And you guys flew out. And it was just a few days ago.
Yeah.
So I know that you're in the middle of processing everything. Can I ask you to be just a little vulnerable? Not that you haven't been. What's the biggest thing you're processing right now? Like, what's the biggest thing that's going through your mind?
Go.
I think it's hard to leave. It's always hard to leave because our heart is there. And so it's our home. And it's not like... We had to leave other time too. And so it's like almost like we know this feeling of like not feeling home and not knowing when we'll be home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's hard.
So home is no longer Switzerland. Is that what I hear you saying?
No.
When did that change happen inside of you?
Mm. When we moved to Haiti.
Yeah, 6 years ago.
We knew we were moving there and... It will be home,
Why would you give your life for a nation, Floor, that's totally unstable, that's killing its own people, that has for years been destroyed by international, national hurricanes, one of the worst earthquakes? Why would you give your life in such a horrific place?
Because Jesus is there, the same that he is, like, he is still there. He's still moving, like, in the midst of all of this.
But he's moving in America, too.
Yeah.
Why not America?
Because that's where he called us. And until he says no, until he until he tell us to leave, like we'll stay.
What would you say to someone that says you're not? What about your kids and how this would affect them? What about your marriage? How stressful?
Come and spend time with us, and you will see our kids are fine. They love what
they're more than fine.
I mean, and that's I think the biggest. I tell when we left 6 years ago, I tell God, okay, God, I hope I will still hear your voice all my life, and I will follow you. But in case I'm not listening to you well, when you tell me to go and to stay, I'll put if my kids and my wife are not okay to stay, or they feel bad or not. Yeah, they want to leave. I will leave the mission field because that will mean I will not be in a good right spot anymore. Mm. And I think, yeah, as I Liam love Haiti, love. And it's like, it's not about Haiti. It's about the people in Haiti. I don't really care about Haiti or I care about those people.
Yeah.
And God really break our heart for those people. And yeah,
they might be in other country. They might be less, I would say, physical danger. But what about so many other things that could put my kids less closer to God? Like that's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so I need to be an example of following Jesus. And like, if it's living in Haiti, I'm going to do that. And I think my kids will learn from our example.
Yeah.
And
in other countries, so much take you away from God. But in Haiti, we depend on him every day to do grocery, to just go out. We're just praying, do we need to go in the hotel next door just to have fun? Or do we need to stay home today? Everything depend on him.
Totally dependent on him.
And it's just depending on him. And every time we leave and we are outside, then we're like, oh, wow, we can do by ourselves. Yeah. I can go and do grocery. I can do and do gas for my car. I can do a lot by myself in other country. But in Haiti, we just depend on him all the time. And that's the best place I want my family to grow, my kids to grow.
One of my favorite moments in this whole story was when you guys got here. Not because you arrived, but some women in church. This is actually one of my favorite things.
Oh, yeah.
Some women in church, Grace Center.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are, but you're incredible. They put together some toys.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that? That it's literally one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us? There was a stuffed animal.
Liam found a turtle, an animal stuff.
That someone was it new or donated?
I think someone made a box with things that he was donating. And he found this turtle and he's like, oh, the turtle.
And yeah, we left with backpack. So we left a lot of our belonging to the house. So
it's one
to
of arrive. It's one of his favorite animal stuff in Haiti that we have. So he was so happy that he found the same here.
Okay. So I know that this is silly, but this spoke to me more than most things, right? He has a favorite stuffed animal in Haiti that he couldn't bring. And like, it's not like some sort of, it's not like a Mario or like some, you know, like cartoon. Yeah. It's like some random stuffed turtle. It's the exact same one that he had in Haiti that someone donated, some incredible believer. And what you said a few minutes back about the community being together, it's the body of believers coming together, just like the missionaries that helped you. Mm-hmm. And honestly, in all the times I've been in crazy situations and come out, it's never been the big thing. It's always the little signs along the way. It's the missionary that picks up the phone and says, oh, we have the armored car. We have, I got six people. There's a fishing boat that's available. It's always in the teeny little things. And so often we can look at like, do I stay or do I go? Right.
Yeah.
And God is just speaking in the small right in front of us.
Yeah.
I asked your wife what she's processing. But what are you processing right now? If you don't mind being vulnerable, because it's rare that we get these opportunities. We always hear like the victory story. And what I really appreciate about you guys is that you've shared the struggle, you've shared how you feel. And I think it's beautiful. So thank you guys for being vulnerable.
Yeah, I think that we had a staff meeting with our staff in Haiti this morning.
Yeah.
And in a way it was amazing. In a way I want to be with them. Like we started staff meeting with six people and two people was missing. And I was like, are they dead? They will show up or not? And then after like 20 minutes, everybody's light up
in
the room.
I saw when the one guy came in.
And I was like, yes, he made it. And yeah, I always have in my mind like, ah, I wish the road was blocked so we'll have not the option to leave. So we'll be there with them. It will be hard, but we'll be with them. And yeah, I think that to just... So many people come for short term in Haiti or just right. for a weekend to preach.
There's a lot of history about people coming with like big project, big dream, and then they kind of abandon. Like, not that they are our own, but like yeah. you kind of just come and take responsibility over people and then just leave. And
people want to come and take picture and have a good story to tell. A lot. Not everybody, but a lot. And a lot of people don't feel love anymore. Yeah. Like when we have foreigners, sometimes they're like, why they look so like not happy? And I'm like, no, that's because you're here and they like don't know you. And they know you will do a lot of promise and then you will leave.
Wow.
And just like, yeah, it's our home. It's our life. It's our friend. And we do fun together. We cry together when people die. We are together. And I think that's the hardest, to not be able to be there and helping them. And yeah, they're amazing, but they don't have any choice to leave or to do anything else. Mm. That's to stay.
Yeah.
And we have this chance because we have the money and the passport to just leave when we want, and they don't. And yeah, it's hard. And I mean, we were so blessed to be here, but here in the States, you have food everywhere. You have so much. And we know every time you eat, every time we went in a good restaurant together and we just take two kids menu and a starter and we are not eating like half of the meal. And we're like, our stomach is so small and we don't eat a lot. And I was like, wow, all this food. And we have like 2-hour plane. People like starving to death because there's no food, there's nothing. And we don't know how long too. Thing to be here and not knowing how long we'll stay here, how long when we'll be able to go home, how we'll be able to see other people.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So that's
it's hard to explain it to someone that's never done it. It really is. You know, a lot of people have a hard time understanding the complexity of the mental, just the mental everything that's involved in it. Yeah. Not only your heart is there, it's your friends that are there. It's very, very complex.
Yeah.
And before, just if you're watching this, before you go, oh, well, why don't they do this? Like, you have no idea. You have no idea what it's like to give your life into a place and have to flee. And my hope is, as you're watching this, is that you get to see a glimpse in what it looks like to, give your life away for the sake of the gospel, but also, the challenges that come as you do that. And this is just the beginning, guys. This is not the end.
Yeah.
This is not the end. I rarely will step in and say, and make a call, right? We trust that our team hears the Lord. And I didn't have to because we were working together, right? But I if you wouldn't have, well, you would have... I would have flown down there and I would have had to, yeah, and to get you guys out. This is one of those hard things that most people don't get a window into see. So just thank you guys for being vulnerable and thank you for just sharing your heart. Is there anything else that I didn't hit on, that we didn't hit on, that you wanted to share with people that are watching this? And then I just have one more question.
I think this key of Jesus, when he walked with his disciple, he just stopped because it was, how do you say that in English? Full of compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was like tearing up. He was like, his heart was broken for those lost people. Mm. And I think in those difficult times, where his war in Gaza, in Ukraine, in Haiti, in Mozambique, and I think as foreigners, we try to protect our hearts to not be touched.
Yeah.
Because it's hard and the whole world is on fire. And that the thing I really want to encourage people to keep our soft hearts and to be able to cry and stop. And I think that's what makes Jesus stop for them and just sharing his heart and loving people. And that's what we did. It's really hard to keep a soft heart. And like this last family Iris gathering, we had this prophetic word, like, Jonathan, keep your heart soft. Wow. And when you see people dying from anger, people shot, killed, you try to protect your hearts, but it's not good.
Wow.
Because then you just, like the Pharisee when the, lost my English.
It's okay.
Le gars qui était au bord de la route, qui s'est fait attaquer par les brigands.
The Samaritan.
People just passed because they were like, no, just another broken people. But one guy stopped because he felt the pain to this guy. He was like, I cannot just pass. Yeah. I need to stop for him. He's in need. And that's really my encouragement today for people watching. Like, hey, don't try to protect your heart. Just keep a soft heart and just... When you start to cry, it's time to stop and spend time with those people.
The parable of the Good Samaritan is it's such an integral, it's one of our integral messages at Iris, right? Because, and what I think it speaks so clearly is that when Jesus, this was in response to a question, what must I do to inherit eternal life, right? And Jesus shares the story about who your neighbor is, right? And he says the priest walks by. Then the Levite walks by, and he calls out those who know ministry, right? Who know the word.
Yep.
And he calls out the worshipers, the priest.
Yep.
The Levite was the tribe of worshipers.
Yep.
And he says, but the Samaritan man, who was like the lowest of low, stopped. And, you know, if you could, I know that there are people watching this that have said like, oh, I want to go and do missions. Right. And I want to go and give my life away. What wisdom would you give them? And especially as you were a youth pastor, how have you changed that message that you would tell the youth right today that you did that maybe you would have said 10 years ago when you were a youth pastor in Switzerland? Like, what would you tell them?
I think when I was youth pastor, it was everything about come. Come at the Friday night, come on Sunday. And Jesus did the reverse. He said, go. So I'll just encourage people to go. And... yeah, go. And God will show you where to stop. I think the best, and that's what he tells to the disciples, go and be in movement. It's much easier to, the best picture of it is the train. It's really hard to start a train.
Yeah.
You need a ton of people to push him to start. But when the train is in movement, you can just have one single guy changing the whole train to go in that direction. So I just encourage people to go. And that's how we did. I was a farmer and she was a teacher, and we went and we're like, okay, God, we'll give you a time, we'll go out. And then God say stop, and we stop, and as long as he's not telling us to go again, we'll stay where we are in Haiti loving the people. And I think that's the biggest thing I will change, to really encourage people to go out.
Like, what about you, say, Flor?
Sorry, can I think?
You okay?
Yeah.
She needs to think.
Why would I say?
First of all, your English is incredible. They were nervous. They were nervous about doing this in English. What would you tell a young person or somebody that wants to get into missions? And this is their biggest fear, right? What will happen to my family? What will happen to my kids? What will happen to my marriage?
Would say just to trust God. Listen to God, listen to the people around you. God is faithful, and if he can take care of you in America, he can take care of you anywhere.
I love it.
But that doesn't mean nothing will happen.
Yeah.
You know?
But
if he can take care of you here, he will take care of you anywhere else, like if you're following him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Flor, you're incredible. I love you. Jonathan, you're pretty cool too. I love you guys. And I'm so, so happy that you made it out. And I'm also happy when you guys get to go back And I will be celebrating with you whenever that time comes. And my prayer is that peace comes, you know, to Haiti. Yeah. And so I just want to ask all of you watching, which camera should I? I just want to ask all of you that are watching this to please be praying for our base in Haiti, praying for their team that's there.
Yes,
I got to say hi to them this morning, and it was awesome. They were smiling.
They're amazing.
They are. They're amazing. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on when that guy walked in. I was like, why is everybody so excited? I'm never that excited when my staff comes in, but then you explained it. I was like, oh man, it's a big deal.
He just passed a war zone. Yeah.
Yeah. And and they want to do that. Like they want to come to work. Yeah. You said it's something that that's blown my mind is how, what's the word I'm looking for? How intentional they are and how, like even in the midst of chaos, they just are, they still want to work. They do whatever they can to continue on with normalcy.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Most people shut down their lives, just shut down.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing you guys go back and seeing the gospel continue to go out.
Yeah.
And guys, so please be praying. Please be praying for these guys.
Yeah.
Listen, I know we rarely do this, but these guys just picked up. They left everything. They have nothing. And they're no longer able to go back until whenever it opens up. And so if you feel led, if you feel like it's something on your heart or your church's heart to connect with these guys, what's the best way to do that?
We have a website, irisportoprince.org.
Okay, we'll put that down in the bottom. Do you guys have an Instagram or anything?
Yeah.
What is it?
Iris Porter Prince.
Iris Porter Prince.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll put that down below.
Yeah.
And you guys are in the process of buying a building.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this thing is not going to end. It's just the beginning. Yep. And listen, if you guys want to connect, and I want to encourage you to, like, I'm telling you, even if you think it's small, I love that little turtle stuffed animal thing. Like, you have no idea what obedience looks like. And just stopping and serving. It might be insignificant. You might think it's insignificant, but you have no idea. Love you guys. Is there any other way that you like people to connect with you guys? No? Okay.
No, yeah. I think Instagram, it's pretty good. And we'll have to connect and share and encourage people to go.
Yeah.
And give their life away.
Last question before I end. How did you guys get started in missions? Like, what was the thing that took you from just being on the sidelines to full time? Was there something you guys did? Did you guys go to school?
We did the harvest school. 25.
So after the year in Haiti, we're like, okay, God, what do we need to do?
We were burnout, like,
broken.
We had a hard experience, and so we came back to Switzerland, and then I saw on the website that Iris was doing a harvest school, and I was like, oh, a school about mission.
A school to learn. So we did like a full year
on the doing mission stuff, field.
And we're like, oh, wow, what is warfare? How is like cross-cultural?
Yeah.
How to not just bring our Swiss mentality, but learn from people? And it was so many questions. And then we hear about this mission school, and we're like, let's go.
Wow.
And we show up, and I was like, I have a ton of questions and nobody answered my question.
Yeah.
It's not a school about mission. It's not teaching mission. It's just in the first few weeks, I was quite mad. I was like, they're not teaching mission. I need answer to my question. And I love it because
we got the Swiss out of you.
it was everything about intimacy and worshiping. And that's what we needed.
I think that was the foundation that we needed.
Yeah.
And at that time, God really spoke to Jonathan about going back to Haiti. We were just telling God, like, wherever you want us, we'll go. And
And this time it was like the painting scratch outside of the wall of the shape of Haiti. And it's just like, okay, God, I will go back. And then I hear like Cité Soleil. And I was like, I hear about that. And I don't really
Are you sure it wasn't Cirque du Soleil?
No, it was a slum.
But you know that you were in the Harvard School. You came and you were reading this verse about being a sheep in the midst of the
Luke 10.
Wolf.
Yeah. So I have this confirmation.
As you were reading this verse, and like they were like prophesying word about people going to receive the nation, where they're gonna go, and I really felt that we needed to go back to Haiti. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because last week Jonathan was like he remembered this verse that got us to go, and he was like, "I think it's the first time that I really feel like we are in the middle of the world."
Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a message that I love preaching. Luke chapter 10.
Yeah.
You guys should read it. And it's a good one. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Don't take a bag, a purse, or sandals with you. Be totally dependent on the Lord.
Yeah. Dependency to him.
Which you guys are. And I love you guys. And listen, go to Harvest School. If you're interested, go to Harvest School. We also have an online missions training course that if you want to just kind of get an understanding from the comfort of your home, you can go and do. You guys are amazing. Check out their information. It's down below. Sow into them. Just do it. Sow into these guys. Get connected with them. And what they really need is monthly support. They haven't told me that, but they do. They don't have any. You guys live off next to nothing. It's insane.
Always enough.
Come on. There is always enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was enough to get you guys out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enough to get you there.
Yeah,
God's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah,
money's never the issue, but they can do a lot more. They get a lot more. So, I love these moments that I get to celebrate some of our team. We have over 500 missionaries around the globe right now, and you guys are four of that. Unfortunately, I've gotten behind my shield and kept my heart soft. And man, when you passed me the phone, I was talking with you, and I think your kids got on to say hi. I ran, and I shoved the phone to Moosey because I was bawling. It's your kids that have gotten behind my shield, and I couldn't even talk because I was so scared for them. I love you guys. Love your kids more than you. But love you guys.
Okay.
And guys, share this. Do all the things. Leave a thing. Do the thing. You know what to do. We'll see you guys on the next episode of Hold On. What is it in French?
La chambre verte.
That sounds so awful. The Irish Global Green Room. Love you guys.
Much better.
Love you guys.